chicken garden, the chicken house? Is that how it works? No, it's the Fox Garden, the chicken house. King County Metro, best service. Smells like Seattle.
As a city, we have no plan.
Our incarceration rate is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
We'll have domestic violence, homicides in schools because there's guns there.
He was murdered by the police.
Now, I got to get to this King County Metro story. Let me just start with this, because it really is, well, I mean, it's good news, except the money's going to the wrong place. A Superior Court judge, Julie Spector, has ordered two Seattle agitators who also have law licenses to pay more than $24,000 to the city of Seattle after finding no merit to their allegations that a Seattle police officer involved in last year's fatal shooting of Charlena Lyles, quote, probably committed perjury. Steve Militek from the Seattle Times reporting on this. So you'll recall, of course, that we just played the sound clip of the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant insisting that the police officers murdered Shea Taylor. She's also, in my recollection, said that the cops murdered Charlena Lyles, even though in each case those officers have been found to have not murdered those people. But she didn't have to pay anything. Now, one comment I would make here is it's unfortunate this money's going to the city of Seattle, because the city of Seattle doesn't deserve this money, because the city of Seattle does not like police officers. They don't respect cops. They make a habit of not respecting cops. In fact, the insanity...
Amazon is ISIS.
...is not just related to that. It's also this guy we're fond of playing.
That is an act of war to invest in white supremacy and terrorism with this bunker.
Remember, that was spoken to the Seattle City Council, and they didn't have a word to say about it. No one spoke up at that time. So, it should be going to the cops. The officer who was libeled by these attorneys, in my judgment. But that's not what's going to go. At least it's partial good news. You've seen the media all kicking their leg and getting all goofy in their mid-zones over King County Metro being named the best transit service out of the big markets. Who named them that? Doesn't that matter? Was this some kind of, you know, scientific study? Is it Scientific American? Is it... maybe even someone like Wired.com, or maybe a mathematical analysis of this to show that they're the best. No, it's not. It's a lobbying group. It's the American Public Transportation Association. They're the ones whose members benefit from the idiotic, empty, double-decker buses taking up space on I-5 South during the primetime commutes. They're the ones who, in addition to King County Metro, they benefit from federal dollars by rolling around empty buses, who benefit from selling us double long buses we don't need. Because, hey, you know what? The federal government's writing part of the check. Why not get the big, hefty, idiotic bus that rolls through downtown Des Moines at 11 o'clock at night? It's empty. Or downtown Edmonds, it's empty. This is a crony capitalist award given to King County Metro, who you'll recall is under federal investigation and may face sanctions for leaving people with learning disabilities, people who are developmentally disabled, sitting there on the side of the street, not able to get home from work. At the same time that Smack Daddy Dow Constantine, who runs King County Metro, is taking hipsters hiking in the mountains. Yeah, Facebook hipsters taking them hiking up in Tiger Mountain, when in fact, last I checked, I think they could afford that on their own.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a
con job. It's a con job. It's absolutely a con job. And then we get this. The illegal dumping around these jungles. Did you hear the source for this? This is another thing the media is talking about. This is Cairo's Deborah Horn with Iris Beauregard, oversees illegal dumping division at the Seattle Utilities. So we're being told it's businesses dumping their stuff there, not the homeless.
For the last year, thanks to a special pilot project, it has become routine for city workers to clean up the trash at homeless encampments. But what they are increasingly finding is that people who are not homeless are using this public land to dump their private trash. Idris Beauregard oversees the illegal dumping division at Seattle Public Utilities.
We could make a safe assumption that this type of material is not in the encampment.
That nobody lives who lives there would have this.
No, not at all. And we often get feedback from campers, persons living in encampments, that late at night, big trucks come through with contractor stickers on them and dump these type of materials.
That certainly sounds like a trustworthy source. Now, look, I'm sure that people do this because who cares? We don't follow the laws in this area. Who cares? I mean, the homeless and street people are allowed to do that. So why is it news that other people do it? And I don't necessarily trust all the people in the jungle to make reports like that. Some of them probably do. They don't want that. But also, we can make a safe assumption they don't have these things. Folks, it's property crimeville in these jungles. You know, today, election day, it's super important that you turn out. It sounds like, you know, not like, oh, of course I'm going to turn out. You know what? Republicans are not turning out. In fact, I want to have Maya Espinoza join us. Maya's running in L28.
All right, join me now on the telephone, running in the L28. That's political speak for Legislative District 28. Maya Espinoza, running to be a representative there. Great background, military family, soccer coach, mother of two. And she wants to represent you. She's got a huge list of endorsements, including some of my favorite people like Steve O'Bann. Maya, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd.
So you sound excited. You sound optimistic. What's going on in the campaign?
Oh, yeah. We are pumped up. We're feeling really good, really optimistic in our race, but we are still working hard. We got a whole office full of volunteers making last-minute calls, reminding people to vote.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is this turnout's going to be key, because the Democrats, they're running on outrage and little else. Remind people why they need to check the ballot for you, what your focus is.
Yeah, you absolutely need me to replace a Seattle vote. So we're here in Pierce County, and we have a Democrat incumbent that continues to vote Seattle's way. I don't think we need any more of that, and the more that I talk to people around here, they feel the same way. We want to lower taxes, first and foremost. We have ST3, Sound Transit, car tab fees, resentment. Pierce County voted it down. We want to fix that, and I will be the vote to bring a tie to the legislature. So we actually can have a say in this stuff again.
Yeah, and that's key. And Pierce County was, I think it was 57% against Sound Transit. Are you in support of an elected body for Sound Transit if we have to keep that criminal conspiracy in business at all?
Absolutely. As I understand it right now, Pierce County's only got two representatives of the 7 or 9 Sound Transit boards. That doesn't seem very fair to me at all. If anything, we need extra representation, particularly when our district didn't vote for it in the first place. So I think elected is the way to go. Actually, Senator O'Bann in our district has a bill for that, and he had a bill to fix the car tab fees, which my opponent did not champion in our district. And if she would have, or if I was in this seat, we could fix this right now.
Right. And people, you know, we know there's this lawsuit against Sound Transit, and Sound Transit's fighting that. They've been offered a settlement just to pay a little bit of money back to people who are having an illegal tax put upon them. What about roads? We have Roger Millar, the executive director of the Washington State Transportation Department of Transportation. He says he's not going to try to solve congestion. He says it can't be solved. It's impossible. Are you a choo-choo train person, a bus person, a road person? Where do you stand?
Well, I think we need more roads. We absolutely need more roads, particularly in the Joint Base Lewis-McChord area. JBLM has got constant traffic around the base. And we know that. We actually figured out that they're not even counting those commuters into the equation.
Because really?
They don't work for a Washington State employer. That's ridiculous. We have 55,000 people coming in and out of the base each day, and we're scratching our heads as to why there's traffic. We can fix this. And we just need to have people that make it a priority. We don't have to sit in traffic. We shouldn't have to waste our lives, economic resources, sitting in traffic. We should be at home with our families or on the job.
So they're not counting the folks who work at JBLM in the traffic numbers?
That's what I learned, and we're investigating that further. Me and the Pierce County executive, Bruce Dammeyer, we're like, wait a second. This may have something to do with all this, folks. So we're looking into that further and finding out what we can do. But taking them into account is the first step, I think.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's funny because WashDOT and others, when they're trying to sell the choo-choo trains, Washington Policy has announced that they actually add school bus rides to the transit numbers so they can pop them up to make it look bigger. So what do folks need to do now? If they've checked the ballot for you in L28, which is the south end, Tacoma area, et cetera, Pierce County, what do they need to do having checked the ballots? Call friends, demand that they vote for you, drag them out? What are you asking them to do?
Oh, my God. You got to drag them out. So Democrats are absolutely motivated right now. But the good news is that means they already voted. It's your chance to vote now. We have Republicans aren't voting. This is we've got low turnout in Republicans. It's not surprising. It was kind of expected. But now is your chance. Call all of your friends, Facebook message, text them, whatever you need to do. Get them out to vote and we can turn the ship around.
I agree. Maya Espinoza running in L28. Absolute full endorsement from me. Maya, Godspeed. Thanks for being out there. Now go knock on doors. Go get some more votes.
We'll go get them. Thanks for having us, Todd.
I appreciate it, Maya.
And it is election day. Make sure you do that. Make sure you get your friends out to vote. Republicans, if you sit this out, it's going to be a huge disappointment. This is your chance. Listening to the Todd Irma Show on AM 770 KTTH. Voice is recovering. Let's roll in and check the national breaking news. There's so much of it.
As we speak, the Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
So, Candace Owens is going to prove to be the most important person in politics in 20 years. Watch. She's the African-American activist, conservative, who is unbelievably poised and strong and clear in her principles and a gifted communicator, connector with people. She's one of the people who was almost attacked by Antifa in Philadelphia because she was eating breakfast while conservative and black, and we can't have that. Plus, the media continues to want to do everything they can to tear down Ted Cruz. We got that. And, oh, the free speech stuff. Yep, we got to cover that. Let's start here. Morning Joe on MSNBC. They want to make it sound like Ted Cruz supports everything that Alex Jones from InfoWars says.
You've got to give it to Ted Cruz just because he does take pandering to new lows, whether it's, his own wife, his own father. He was so quick to, cower back, grovel back to Donald Trump. And that's the same thing that he's doing with Alex Jones. And it's so craven. It's so transparent.
No, it's not. What he's saying and what Ted Cruz has said very clearly is he doesn't like Jones. But nor does he accept that Facebook has a magic key to judge what hate speech is. And I was listening to Ben Shapiro last night. Ben is the national show on now after mine from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Shapiro can't stand Jones, and they've gone at one another because they're both national figures. And Jones has tried to ruin Shapiro. And Shapiro, a lawyer, Harvard trained. Is he Harvard? Is saying, look, this is not about fake news, and Facebook admits this. It is about Facebook now getting in the business of banning what they decide is hate speech and kicking them off the platforms, and Twitter doing that, and YouTube doing that. This ends exactly where we think it's going to end. It ends with conservatives having their speech blocked. Facebook took this ad down from a young woman who's a phenomenal candidate. Her family escaped the Cambodian Holocausts. Her name is Elizabeth Hang. We talked about her yesterday. She almost beat, right up front, before the primary, this guy who's a congressman there, a seven-term Jim Acosta, just because she's conservative. Facebook blocked this ad, took it down. She talks about Cambodia. Her dad escaped it. This is why she's an American. Well, not why. Yeah, it is why she's an American, because her family made it here. Why she's glad to be an American and why she's conservative.
In Cambodia, under Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge, being young and single often meant a gruesome life and likely death. They approached my father, and in order to save his life, he said he was about to be married. They asked him, to whom? He pointed to the prettiest girl that he saw, having never spoken to her before. The soldiers approached her, and she said yes.
This was banned by Facebook. Because why? Well, they say it's sensationalist. This is where this is headed. This is why I'm looking at Facebook and saying, you are banning hate speech. Is that right? Alex Jones is hate speech. Is that right? Huh. So when you allow things like this to circulate and you celebrate it and you allow Antifa to organize on your platform because you allow them to organize on your platform. This is Antifa in who went out and attacked, well, verbally, blowing whistles and hitting drums and getting up in the face of, and later we'll play the full audio, although most of it we can't play because it's filled with F-words. This is a group of largely white young people going at an African-American woman, Candace Owens. This is why I think she's so important. Candace Owens is sharp on this response.
This is Maxine Waters America, and we felt it was an important moment to show America exactly what we are fighting, because not many people understand this is real. They've grown increasingly violent because they understand that they are losing. They're losing a lot of turf.
And they're trying to get someone like Candace Owens, or she was with Charlie Kirk with Turning Point USA. They're trying to get her or he to commit violence. That's what they want. They want someone to break. But Facebook, we're going to allow that to go on. They're going to allow people to use their platform to organize. They're not going after hate speech. It's very clear. They're going after some hate speech. Now, I don't give a whit, not a single whit, about Alex Jones. I give a whit about the fact that Facebook is going to start removing conservatives. Even they've been attacking them. Now they're going to start removing them. Oh, and the media, of course. Media continues to say, oh, the president's going to have blood on his hands. This is an MSNBC contributor, Jason Johnson.
We're going to have a Charlie Hebdo situation here. Without question. It is going to happen because of the behavior of this president.
Is it now? Because of the behavior of this president. So when a mad person attacks a journalist, it'll be because of the president. Who caused those attacks? Verbal as they were. Or, of course, the easy one to point at is the congressional baseball attack. Down to Florida. This is sweet. Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galatari talking about Al Sharpton, who's down there agitating.
Don't really care what Al Sharpton has to say. Go back to New York. Mind your own business.
That's nice and potent. Lastly, on the national news, Nancy Pelosi. They can't even hear it, but what she's doing is saying that there's going to be a woman elected to be the first Native American in Congress. You want to have some fun? Google the phrase, first Native Americans in Congress. Not close to the first. Plus, I mean, Lizzie Warren. Well, Ben Nighthouse Campbell, he's actual. I love Pelosi. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with a great political swindle. Maria Frost at the Washington Policy Center has written the single greatest epic takedown of Roger Millar and the Washington State Department of Transportation that has ever occurred in the history of all epic takedowns. I will now put it in audio form and present it to you as the great political swindle that's being perpetrated by the career grifter named Roger Millar, who pretends to run the Washington State Department of Transportation. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. You can also get us on podcast, which is a vote for conservative media in the digital media world that Facebook's trying to attack conservatives in. Just text the word podcast to 800-465-8770. You can also use that number, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution, 800-465-8770, to text anytime during the show or tweet me anytime during the show. That way you don't have to wait on hold and we can still get your words embedded through the program. Twitter is at Todd E. Herman. There are cons and then there are swindles. Then there are great, big, huge political swindles like WashDOT under head grifter Roger Millar. The details of this are epic. Credit where credit is due. Maria Frost from the Washington Policy Center. You're about to hear an absolutely epic takedown of this grifter named Millar.
There was the sting, Ocean's 11, and the Italian Job. But why rely on fiction when we have the real thing? The Todd Herman Show presents today's episode of The Great Political Swindle.
So we got this guy named Roger Millar. His job title is Executive Director of the Washington State Department of Transportation. In all actuality, Roger Millar has no interest in transportation if that transportation doesn't trap you in a city. I take this all from an absolutely brilliant piece by Maria Frost with WashingtonPolicy.org. I follow her on Twitter. You should, too. Starts this way. You remember last week that that Phil Fortunato, senator, Republican senator, sent a note to Roger Millar. Because Phil had noticed something I'd noticed. That when giving a speech to a bunch of transit cronies or transportation bureaucrats, Roger Millar said that solving congestion is, it can't be done.
What we're talking about when we try to solve congestion is something financially impossible to do. Congestion is not a failure on the state DOT's part. It's a problem we simply cannot solve.
Fortunato sent a letter to Millar saying, hey, if you're not willing to do your job because your job is called out in the law, maybe resign. And Millar wrote back saying, no, I'm not going to do that. No.
We're a multimodal transportation agency, not a highway department. On congestion is a part of a symptom of a larger problem, a lack of affordable housing and transportation choices near where they live, work, and go to school and shop and recreate.
Now, as Maria Frost points out in this epic piece, and as I've pointed out on the air, not as eloquently as Maria, WashDOT knows and has proven that they can solve congestion by painting new lanes, painting them, allowing people to drive on the hard shoulder of 405 during afternoon peak hour, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. They were able to move 500 more vehicles were able to travel in I-45, 405 during those hours at faster speeds. And there were fewer vehicles per lane per hour. Why did WashDOT do that? If it can't be done. Want to know why? Because they would have been fined if they didn't. It would have cost Roger Millar's grifting patch, his personal grifting machine, money. So they did it. So it can be done. Maria didn't note this, although I learned this from her, on the I-90 bridge when Sound Transit stole the express lanes from the people of Mercer Island, and more importantly, just people in general. They painted new lanes to the general purpose lanes to open up the freeway. So Millar is a liar. That's part of the swindle. But this is also tied into this ridiculous award that King County Metro got from a group of transit lobbyists who sell double-decker and triple-decker buses, the sort of which you see empty on I-5 South at 6 p.m. driving back to the garage. Because, of course, it makes sense to drive an empty bus rather than making the last stop filled with people, even if they ride for free. They sell those buses, and so they're awarding King County Metro, who has done everything they can to work with Roger Millar to make driving painful. They're also being rewarded for that. King County Metro is not a good agency. We've talked about that in some detail. They're being rewarded for being big spenders is what's going on. And Millar is part of this. Now, Millar has further said that it's financially impossible to solve congestion.
There's not enough money. You know, I'm paraphrasing, in the whole world to solve congestion.
Now, by the way, Marie's about to tie this all together for you in a pretty bow that's just perfect. So stay by for that. But here's the deal. WashDOT says it would cost $115 billion to get everyone moving on 451 additional lanes at the posted speed limit of 60 miles per hour at all hours of the day. Okay, then as Maria says, and this is exactly right, then maybe WashDOT should get out of the way of this silly, stupid light rail scam of the criminal scamsters at Sound Transit. Why? As she points out, spending $115 billion to add 451 miles of roadway across Washington is more valuable by far than the $54 billion being spent by Sound Transit for 62 miles of choo-choo train rail that will serve fewer than 3% of daily trips by 2040. In fact, as Maria points out, did you know, I learned this today, the Puget Sound Regional Council, they're the ones who work with the illegal lobbying groups like Mass Transit Now and Transportation Choices Coalition to make it seem like they're doing the people's will. Do you know that they add school bus trips to transit numbers? Now, maybe I've lost track of this because I am getting old. Did we start letting grade school kids drive cars? Because it's not transit if they're little kids being picked up and taken to school. And frankly, if high school kids are taking the buses, because they don't have cars. So again, this is a guy pretending that they don't have the money. It can't be done. It's physically impossible. Now, this all sounds very strange. It sounds very ideological. And this is something I learned in Maria's piece. All this makes sense when you realize that this grifter named Millar, he used to be the vice president of Smart Growth America. What does Smart Growth America advocate? Quote,
plans, economic and community development that attempts to curb urban sprawl and worsening environmental conditions.
He's an ideologue. Not just a grifter. He can do two things at once. He can grift and be an ideologue. So what do they support? Compact living, walking, biking, or taking transit for the small number of transportation needs they think is going to exist, because we're all going to be packed into beautiful blocks of wood stacked on high, just like boxes shipped into your friendly everyday IKEA store. They purposely do not support policies that relieve traffic congestion. There's your executive director of the Washington State Department of Transportation and grifter, and by the way, coward, Roger Millar. It's election day. Have you voted? We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM, and roll into just a few more things. There's a reason for the ace, really. Shock me, put on your black leather. Yeah, because sometimes a theme arises when we roll into...
Just a few more things.
Yep, news like items laid out into a patent-pending audio feng shui pattern, neatly numbered, lest it not be audio feng shui.
Thing one.
So shock me, right? So a guy gets arrested for attempted robbery, and he was carrying something with him. This is a Newport News incident. So what's he carrying?
After putting the child down alone in the dark, the man...
Yeah. This toddler, as he goes on his stupid little crime spree.
Man walks out of frame. When he reappears, he's holding something in his hands, and within seconds, uses it to try and break down the auto shop's door. The young child is only feet away as the man tries relentlessly to shatter the glass door. The object is thrown to the ground, and the child is picked up and carried off camera.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for learning, you know, the family business, but... And I know people do this out of desperation, and... But would this be a turning point for most people? I was doing what? With my little boy? He used to make fun of this, and I am. But what about a prayer for that man? Maybe God will touch him if we really pray to change his ways. Theme, shock me. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing two.
Full... Florida man. Yeah. Decided to go parkour. I didn't know this was a thing. I guess you go up high and you climb around. And he decided he would do that on a, you know, a high voltage wire.
He may have been practicing parkour by jumping between buildings downtown. He apparently stepped on the line near Clematis Street in South Dixie, which sent more than 7,000 volts of electricity through his body. Two other men with him found him in the alley below, breathing but unresponsive.
Yeah, unresponsive and hurt, and a turning point in life. Now, parkour, now I get it, bouncing between the buildings. I've seen that. Yeah, it's an incredible athletic art form, no doubt about it. Part ballet, part powerlifting, part this or that. Turning point. I jumped on 7,000 volts of electricity parkouring. What if I were to take that energy, the internal, not the stuff I was shocked with, and to use it towards something maybe more gainful? The theme, just a few more things today. Shock me. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing three.
I know you're shocked. I was stunned. Couldn't believe it. Had to sit back and make sure this was really happening.
Last night's vote carries very little weight.
It's the West Hollywood Council.
LA City Council of the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce are in charge of the Walk of Fame.
In the unanimous vote.
Change seems unlikely, despite West Hollywood's urging. The Chamber of Commerce says it does not remove stars from the sidewalks.
Oh, but they voted to remove one. Unanimous vote to remove one. Donald Trump's star be removed. Oh, the president. I'm not a popcorn in politics guy, and I'm not a personality in politics guy. I want the job done. But the president, he's going to have such enormous fun with this. And the true Trump believers, people who love this man and pushed that train from day one, I can't wait to see where these stars appear. Because they're coming back. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing four.
Now, some stars have not been unanimously voted to be taken down. In fact, some stars have been, as the media would say, defiantly kept up. Like the star of Harvey Weinstein. Are you shocked? Going to be kept up. You remember when Rose McGowan, actress, described having been raped by Weinstein?
Every time I thought about those black dresses, I would get a body flashback. Every time. Even right now.
What do you mean by a body flashback?
I can feel him there.
Yeah, it's a young woman describing having been raped by one of the most powerful producers in Hollywood. Oh, his star's fine. Because in that case, the Hollywood people are sticking with, we don't remove stars. It's a landmark. Oh, the president. Oh, he could have fun with this. Oh, he could hang this around the necks of liberals. His star's gone, but Weinstein's still there. Are you shocked? Remember the theme, shock me? Next up, just a few more things.
Thing five.
There's another star that remains. Star of Bill Cosby. Still going to be there. There was a witness who told about Cosby joking about rape.
She said something along the lines of, I'm getting a drink and do you want one? And he said, no, I've already got one. And he had a big bottle of water. And then he sort of paused for a minute and said, but you know, you should be careful about drinking around me. And the whole audience sort of, ooh.
Yeah. Sort of, ooh. Those of us with daughters sort of, huh? Oh, his star's fine. Because, you know, they don't remove stars because it's a landmark. Oh, I'm not a popcorn and politics guy. Hollywood, you're about to get shocked. Because Donald Trump, he's going to have a lot of fun at your expense with this. And supporters, where are those stars going to suddenly appear? The Trump stars. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH with a little Seattle spirit.